shine, little Uber, liver, liver, lease.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're turned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite worms. It's Lance and Lulu in the house. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. We both start at the same time.
Yeah, good evening.
Piano playing Lulu over there. Loves that theme music.
Well,
just can't
just
get
so
over
catchy.
It, can you?
It's it so catchy. Cute and catchy.
Yep. And, hey, we want to thank everybody last week who listened to our Pledge Drive show and participated and contributed, and what a blast that was.
You know, honest, really, I mean, from all
it was so
over,
fun.
I mean, that was so fun.
Yeah.
And so you guys out there, hooray.
Yes, thank you very much. Supporting this show As the Worm Turns and just KVNF
else.
In
yeah.
general. Yeah.
Wow, it's just amazing.
It was awesome. Thanks, Jer, for coming in from Earth Friendly Supply,
yeah.
too. That
Everybody
is always
pitched
fun.
In, and there was good fun and mm-hmm. good action. And we know you got stuff going on in your gardens, even though the party's over.
The party is over. Yeah, so let us know what you're doing, because that's what we're going to talk about, is kind of winding up the season mm-hmm. or winding mm-hmm. it down, however you want to look at that. And it's live again this week, 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. You can email worm@kvnf.org. And, of course, our lovely Jeff is in there to field your calls. He's feeling pretty lively tonight.
Yeah, you know, you couldn't do it without him.
Couldn't do it.
Mm-mm.
So thank you, Jeff.
Yay.
All right. Let's start with the rain. And just the different weather and the ground being pretty nice and soft. Huh?
It's so amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice to have the moisture and
yeah.
My carrots pull instead of dig.
Nice.
Right?
Because you got a lot of carrots to pull there.
Still got
buddy.
A lot of carrots. You know. And I put the hoses away and drained the system, so yeah, I don't have to water anymore.
Okay, well that feels pretty good, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, yeah, I'm on that same project and we drained the irrigation pipes. We have gravity flow pipes from the Stewart Ditch down to the end of the alley in where between third, what do you call it, where I live, Rio Grande and Colorado.
Hello.
It comes down. So we drained all that out. And
mm-hmm. And so you didn't have to blow it out. Don't you like that gravity flow thing,
Lynn? Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of
yeah.
your preferred method too,
yeah.
isn't it?
I don't understand sprinkler systems that you got to pay $100 a year to blow them out.
Well, mm-hmm. I get mine. I have a blowout too, so I do both.
I
got to drain the main line that comes into the mm-hmm, sprinklers, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. the sprinklers get blown out.
Right. Yeah. So. You got it.
Yeah.
Quite
no,
the
I just
system going
I just
there.
Drain it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hoses are wound up and put away.
Yeah. I left some out in case I need to water planting garlic.
Oh, there you go. Should we talk about that, planting, what you can still plant?
I mean, oh, yeah. Well, garlic's in 2 weeks or so. And
so you're going to prep some beds.
Or
let's talk about that.
I mean,
that.
You can put it in now, too. It
you
doesn't
could.
Matter. Whatever you got going mm-hmm. with it.
Whatever really works for you.
Yeah, but, whatever mm-hmm. works.
You know, my bed's already ready. I did it actually before the rains.
And how did you prep that? How did you prep the bed?
The bed.
Turn the
see.
Soil.
I actually went and got a truckload of horse manure and spread that in the whole thing with compost and tilled it all in and watered it, and then it rained on it. And I wanted all that to break
perfect.
Down and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. I rarely use fresh manure, but it's okay. I don't have any. I just like my compost better.
Sure. Well, you work at that compost,
yeah.
so you know what's in it
yeah,
and
so.
All of that
right.
good stuff.
Right. Willie was asking me today, you know, what should I do? And I said, just... He had peas in it. He had a cover crop of the peas. So
yeah.
he tilled that in. And then there's kind of a layer of hardpan down there. So they were shoveling that and broad forking that
mm-hmm.
to bring that, break up that last, that ground up there has improved so much.
Oh, I bet that's really awesome to
yeah,
see that
it's
difference.
Great to see. Mm-hmm. And you know, because I planted garlic up there a bunch. And, man, it was rough. But. It's starting to really get sweet now. So he amended with just some sphagnum peat moss, and that's really great for garlic because it really gets the soil loose, and it tends to hang out for a while.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
hang in the soil for a while.
It's there.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So he used that, and I said, nah, you don't need to really do fresh manure.
Mm-hmm.
With the garlic, it's better to just, you can, because you know what you're doing, you know. But
well, fresh manure can be touchy.
Yeah, it's touchy. It's mm-hmm. tricky. And you've had it on the ground for how long?
It's been tilled in the ground for over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got to be patient a little bit.
2 weeks later, Arnold.
And you're waiting another 2 weeks to mm-hmm. plant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really had time to smooth out a little bit, mm-hmm. work itself out a little bit.
Right. And so let me ask you, with something like the pea cover crop, generally how long do you wait after you've broken that down and you're letting that go into the soil? A couple weeks before you need
it? I mean, if you can have the timing right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can plant. Some people plant right in it.
Sure.
It's going to
sure.
break
okay.
down all winter.
Okay.
So the only thing garlic's going to do now is send down roots.
Right.
So it's not really going to be doing the big growing thing until the spring.
Okay.
So so your cover crop's all broken down by then.
Right. So it's not a clean bed. It's a bed of all kinds of good stuff going on there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whatever you're using.
Yeah. And if it's cloddy, it's okay. It's all going to break all winter long, freezing and thawing. It doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
You know, but you want to plant it about 3 to 4 inches deep.
Okay, let's talk about that, planting that garlic.
Well, the general rule of thumb is 3 times the height of the clove.
Clove, yeah.
And that's with any bulb. Anytime you – wait a second. Is there one that's an exception? I forget. Wait. No, there. You can't hardly go wrong.
Yeah.
3 times the height of the bulb.
And most of those cloves are about an inch.
Yeah, about an inch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there you are, 3 to 4 inches down.
Yeah.
I love that, being able to use your bed through the winter by planting something. And, hey, we have Joy, one of our regular listeners from Paonia, on the line with a question. Good evening, Joy.
Good evening.
Hi, Joy.
How are you guys?
We're great.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I have a question about overwintering my garden. I was hoping to find some alfalfa bales, and I'm having a hard time. Do you have any recommendations on where I can find a bale? I mean, they are huge. The ones that I've talked to are like 4 by 4 by 8.
Oh, they're the
the massive
giant
ones.
Yeah, giant
bales. Grudo, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't really.
Yeah. I was going to just say the reason that you're having a hard time finding it, one is, like, I have a friend that's a hay farmer, and he sold it out of the field as soon as he baled.
Oh,
because
really?
Of the dry year. The second mm-hmm. thing is the bigger operations that are feeding livestock are going uh-huh. to the big round bales or those one-ton bales because the machinery works for it. So you're going to have harder and harder time finding alfalfa. Straight alfalfa hay and those just, 75-pound bales.
Right.
It's going to be almost impossible.
And so it's impossible.
Almost. It's around, but you're just going to have to keep on asking out.
Just
you know who dairy cows really like alfalfa? They have to have clean alfalfa. They can't have, because if it's not clean alfalfa, it gets
in the
milk.
Yeah. So, but mm-hmm. wait, how big of an area are you trying to do?
Well, I probably have, I don't know, probably a quarter acre.
Oh.
Not even. I could use one bale of those giant ones, but, you know.
Yeah, great, but you got to get it there.
Have right.
somebody put
right.
it down smack in the middle and then
right.
just keep breaking it down.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
So if you have any ideas on who I could call, or if you have any contacts, I would be so thrilled.
Somebody in Missouri, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah.
you know what else you could try? Or
yeah,
you
right.
could contemplate getting some bags of rabbit feed. The alfalfa pellets.
Rabbit.
Yeah, rabbit
oh.
rabbit feed is alfalfa pellets.
Okay, well, they have that at the farm at home. But it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, it would be kind of expensive, but it you know, it would be an alternative if you wanted to just put it just where you were going to plant in your rows or something
okay.
like that. I mean, I don't think, mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that you put it in the garden and cover the garden, you know, 2 inches deep in rabbit pellets, that would defeat them.
Not take, cost effective.
It would take you 2 years or 3 years for it to be cost effective, probably. But
right.
It might attract rabbits.
Right. And it might attract rabbits. But you know, I mean, you could sparingly till it in. It's still going to work.
Yeah, it's still going to work. Yeah. And just start asking all livestock people. Where, you know.
Well, I'm going to the shopper, but yeah, they just have the big bales.
Yeah. So
well, our call up Grand Mesa. What is it now? It's Crop Works.
Mm.
Okay. And,
it's in Orchard City, right on Highway 65.
And they might be able to
give you
I've
got
some
there.
And it's spelled K-R-O-P Works, W-O-R-X, I think is how it's spelled.
Oh.
It's just a play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call them up. They have certified clean straw there, wheat-free straw, and they might have some hay, or at least a lead.
Awesome. Right. Okay.
Yeah, they
Thank
might
you.
Know somebody. There you go.
All right.
Nice work.
Awesome.
Yeah, good luck, Joy. I hope you find that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Appreciate your call.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
And so benefits of alfalfa over straw or oat
nitrogen.
Yeah, okay. Well, those deep roots are really bringing up a lot of the subsoil minerals.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It just is more, it's got more nutritional value when you feed it to the animals. And it has more nutritional value for your soil.
Well, then, isn't that what Ron said a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Get bales of alfalfa hay and spread it around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he
Joy
was
listening.
Yeah, see that? and he was even saying, you know, just don't even take the baling twine off. Just put them on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I've done that, and it's amazing what happens. You get this wad of this fabulous dirt. I mean, it's incredible.
By springtime?
No. It takes a couple of years, but it does. It breaks down, and the whole bale just sort of melts
right
into the
it.
Ground, and it's exquisite.
Now you have a lot of bales. I just drove by your house a little bit ago, and you have a lot of bales hanging out there. Are those new this year that you've already stacked up, or are they still?
No, those are old.
Okay,
and I'm surprised that they're still doing as well as they're still holding up. Yeah, and it's going to be – I'm going to have to probably wait until first cutting next year to replace those. But all of those bales in that wall end up somewhere in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of them. All you know, on both sides of the driveway.
That's amazing.
I have them only one bale high on one side, and then I've got a full-on wall on the other. And they all end up back in the soil. And it's working. I mean, I'm so thrilled with, you know, how the dirt is, soil is coming around in my backyard. It's
success.
Yeah. It's getting really good. It's amazing.
Nice.
And this rain has been like the second coming of the Lord, I swear.
Yeah, let me give the phone numbers and then we'll talk revival. 527-4868, 1-866 KBNF now, because you're seeing a lot of revival of different plants coming back to life after.
Yeah, that's what Liz and I were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh. Well, all the weed seeds.
all the weed seeds are germinating.
Yeah, the mallow and the cheatgrass.
Cheatgrass.
Peppergrass, which isn't a grass, but that's what we call it. And what else did I have on my list here? What other one?
Oh, man.
Storksbill. Red.
The filigree.
Filigree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Storksbill, the pink, it's pink or red filigree. It's really pretty, but it's kind of horizontal and it gets little flowers. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and it has great taproot for breaking up soil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what else? It's coming in my yard. Oh, Melissa officia, lemon balm.
Sweet Melissa.
Yeah, that's, it's, and even some tomato seeds.
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I mean, they're gone now, but just after the rain, before it froze, there were all these little germinations going. It was great.
Yeah, loving the mist is coming up.
Oh.
Nigella. Bachelor's buttons comes
right.
up.
Right, yeah, I saw some on the side of the driveway.
Oh, the what do you call that? I love it, Hesperus. The Hesperus, some Hesperus was coming up. And the Hesperus plants that were tiny, that were looking like, They're all doing great. They all came back to life. And clary sage, there's a lot of clary sage. Oh, you know what else? Mallow. The really tall, you know, weed mallow. You know which one I mean? Oh, wait. Not mallow. Yeah. No, wait.
Hollyhock?
No, not hollyhock. Wait, I'll think of it. Never mind. Don't make me think too hard. Okay. My brain will fry.
Let's talk about mallow. You were talking about the mallow root, and someone was looking for mallow root. And what were they going to do with that, Lance?
They're clean it up, obviously, and they were going to braid it or make it into rings for babies for teething.
And why is that? Is it medicinal?
It's soft. I actually didn't know if it had medicinal qualities. It probably does.
It does. Mallow
good
can
chewing.
Be, yeah, well, it can be used for healthy mucous membranes.
Okay.
And it can help to make healthy mucus, if that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, marshmallow and all those things.
Marshmallow, the buttonweed is the other name, common name for it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a real marshmallow as well. And that's pretty cool. It looks like a hollyhock, only in miniature.
Mm.
The flowers are in miniature, but the rest
of
I really like
eating it.
You mentioned that before, that you like the mallow.
And if you want to make sure you got rabbits in your garden, that all the mallows leaves will be eaten off and the stems will be left.
Oh, really? So yeah. That's how
so
you know
if you start seeing that, that's the stems with no leaves, you have a rabbit.
Okay.
Mullen is what I was trying to say.
Oh, mullen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I always have these, there's always a renegade or two in my garden and I'm foolishly let them go. And then they sprout everywhere. You see these little furry leaves coming up.
Yep, thousands of seeds.
Thousands.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and
they're
really tall, and they're super drought tolerant. And they're actually really good. The flowers are really medicinal, very medicinal for congestion, bronchitis, things like that, persistent coughs.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, so you can dig them out with a grapefruit knife. I did it once.
Just like you were talking about hand chopping all your myrtle.
Oh,
you're only
going
to do that once too, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
because you got myrtle all over the place.
Well, yeah, I have three sides of the house, and the reason for it is you don't have to do anything. You know, you do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No weeds grow in it. You don't have to mow it. You just let it be. You got to water it. But you don't have to water it. It'll survive, but it'll keep all the weeds out and all of that if you do water it. And it's that's because of Carolyn. Carolyn chops all hers down by the hot tub, and then it looks really nice in the spring when it's all chopped down. In the spring, all that new growth comes and you get all those beautiful blue flowers.
Right, I bet that's gorgeous.
Yeah, and if you don't chop it down, you still get the blue flowers, but not as prolific and not as not as showy.
Not that like curtain or
flowers. Just not as showy, but
All right, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. And just getting ready for winter. Lance, you mentioned you're hilling up roses, and roses do so well in I think all
it's
of the
just,
western slope. Really.
You know, a fall thing to do. You can do it now, you can do it in November. And it's just, you heal up, you can heal it up with dirt. What I do is I heal it with dirt, and then I throw a bucket of compost on top of each one of them. And then when I pull the dirt back in the spring, I don't have to fertilize.
Oh, nice.
So
it's already there.
Right.
And but you can use straw, hay, leaves. Mm-hmm. If you use leaves, I put them on first and then put some hay on top so that the leaves don't blow in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Can you compare hilling up to mulching, it's the same concept.
Yeah,
you
can use dirt or you can use organic matter.
Okay. And it's a good time now to start collecting organic matter for mulching over the winter.
For mulching next summer and compost, you know.
Right.
This is when there all those leaves and all those things.
Boy, if you can get those leaves, that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just coming down.
They're coming down now.
Yeah, my autumn purple ash is down, but the maples are all hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
the locust is starting to fall, but everything else is still pretty green.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty green, yeah.
It's kind of weird, but...
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So your leaves are falling down, and I know last year we had trouble with leaves breaking down because there just wasn't enough moisture. Do you recommend chopping those up, mowing them up, or...
You can run them through a shredder.
Thoughts on that? Through a shredder?
Yeah.
If you have one. Or you can also... I do this. I mow them. I just mow them.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
That you mowed.
Or I rough them up. Or if I don't get to it, I rough them up in the spring.
I was supposed to rake leaves for somebody, so I have. I like the old. I like a side throw mower. No power drives. No baggers. No, I want it thrown out the side.
Right.
And I just kept on going on the outside circle, mowing, blowing those leaves into the center.
Nice work.
And it worked. Yeah, to a certain extent, until you got too close, then it just blows it over.
Then it goes
but
either way.
It worked really good. Not only did I get them raked up, but I got them chopped up, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you have a bagging mower, just don't put the bag on.
Right.
And mow.
Exactly.
And it's like, it cracked me up when somebody started the fad for the mulching mower. It's like, what?
Just throw it back out.
Just, what?
I know.
We're such
suckers. So brilliant with marketing, huh?
Yeah. Marketing, hey, go buy a new lawnmower because you need a mulching mower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can never have too much organic matter, though, or collect too much. I mean, you're chopping or starting, you're chopping and dropping and...
No, you can't. When Jane and I used to work in her gardens, we would... grab everything that, you know, if we were weeding or whatever we were doing, we'd just make a new pile somewhere and that would be the new garden.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. I like that. Just let it happen.
Yeah, she had enough room where she could do that and pile all the everything up and off we went.
Right on. Hey, it's Duna in Norwood with some input. What
do you got,
Duna? Good evening.
All right. Lulu?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Duna. In Norwood,
nice
a little input for you. As far as that marshmallow plant that you were trying to think of a name from, I think you're thinking Malva, M-A-L-V-A.
Oh, yeah, Malva, but no, I was thinking of Mullein.
Mullein?
Yeah, Mullein.
Oh, okay.
And what's the Malva?
The Malva, yeah, it's a wonderful semi-drought tolerant. It's probably the only thing that survived this summer here in Norwood in my garden. Anyway.
Drought tolerant.
Yeah. I don't know when Lulu's leaving for Aspen, but...
when the snow
when
gets
she
on
does,
the mountains,
no say hi to my old friends from the 1970s.
Nice.
No, I sure will.
All right.
Everybody all right. who's still alive, we're having
the old, the old musician friends. Okay.
I got
right,
it.
Right
got
on,
it.
Duna.
All right.
Thanks, Duna.
Good to hear from
Alrighty.
You.
Talk to you later. Bye. Oh, yeah, that was some good. That was good.
Those
sport.
Were the days.
Well. It was the Wild West, that's for sure. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, we lived through it, most of us, a lot of
right?
us.
There's
you know,
still
whatever.
A lot of you around,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
for sure.
And we're still rocking and rolling, too. That's the good news.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 527-486-81866, KVNF now. Lance, you mentioned you're turning soil and building compost. What do you mean by turning soil?
I turn my entire garden with a shovel. Mm. And I just start when something gets pulled out, and I start turning. I like turning soil. And all those beds, those...
It's addictive.
Yeah.
Right.
And, it is.
And, you know, you know? Find rocks, you find pieces of glass, you find nails.
You find treasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bolts.
Yeah. Bolts. Yeah, you find those things. And then all those beds that had, like, those carrots and stuff in, they all get taken out. Because that where those beds are is going to be the row crops next year.
Okay, yeah, you really rotate your stuff up. You've got a rotation plan
I
there.
Do too, though. Mm-hmm. It's just on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. And I have these great big, you've seen them, those great big pots. They're whatever they're made of, I don't know. But they're all deteriorating. I've had them for years. They're those pressed.
Those cloth pots?
No, they're not cloth. They're pressed.
Peat.
Yeah, sure.
Peat pots, and they're pressed, and they're big, and they're starting to go on the bottom and so forth. So... I have a bunch of them on one side of the garden, and I'm just going to blow them up and make the garden go out that way. It's going to be great.
Lead the way.
Yeah, they've just done a great job of prepping the soil under there.
Mm-hmm. And those beds are have had so much compost on them this year that the next year when I plant row crops, I never fertilize.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's just enough, some healthy soil
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So really, technically, my beds are only getting that kind of compost once every 2 years.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it's Dave from here in Paonia on the line with a question. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
What's going on?
First of all, I want to say, Lulu, I'm not mentioning any names, but you sit next to my daughter in choir.
Well, I depend on
you
her.
You do the math. She has a great ear. But I actually had a question for Lance.
Sure.
And I've been curious because I've been watching it. In the beginning of the season, because we had like a heavy rain and then a soft frost, you said, and I'm not throwing you under the bus, I'm just curious, you said you thought the elm trees were going to turn yellow, and they didn't.
The elm trees were going in the spring?
Well, we talked about
early summer. No, I think it was like mid-June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a problem with the elms.
Oh, that was different.
Yeah, and it never happened down here by the river park.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just curious because my tomatoes did horrible, and I called a couple of times. And
that happens.
I'm just curious. Have you found something unusual, or are you just too busy that you can't pay attention to the elm trees? I'm just curious.
Well, I think some of them got buggy.
There was a disease, and somebody called up with the disease that was here.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And I just had noticed that they were turning yellow. I don't think it was the rain or light frost. They were just not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those elm beetles.
I wondered if the same disease was transferable.
To the tomatoes.
Like between the tomatoes,
I mean, who's to say? There could be. I sort of doubt it. Two totally different elm trees from China and tomatoes from South America.
I would.
Okay.
But I would say,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, it's time for the disclaimer. All of these plants are trying to make a liar out of all of us at any moment.
Yeah.
The tomato thing, some people had a lot of trouble with maybes. Mm-hmm.
I took all of mine out, remember?
Yeah.
Right.
In June,
right.
They were gone.
Yeah, and you don't like them anyway, so that
it's only four plants. It's like
So, I mean, there you have it. And for me, mine were gorgeous this year.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. But, you know, next year I might totally fail. You just got to roll with it. You just got to roll with it, darling.
Well, what was curious to me was the fruit didn't fail. It kept growing. And then I was comparing my daughter's, and her leaves didn't really fail, and her fruit was like twice as big as mine.
Yeah.
So
location,
I was just curious.
Location.
All right. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
No, you know what?
Down to the end of it.
It's curiosity is the best ever thing to have in your garden. Emotion. What is it? Is it an emotion? Yep. Whatever it is.
Yeah,
well,
keep
watching.
It just is the best. And you know, you just are going to keep being amused. So don't worry about it. Just do something else. Try something
different.
They're
filling up their roots. They're doing really well.
There you go.
Great.
They teach me now. I don't teach them.
That's the rule. Perfect.
Good deal.
Great.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Bye.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's just like roll with it and roll with the changes and try something new. And
this year, this is good in your garden. Next year, it's something else. Those little elm beetles, they ate the pants off my elm tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started dropping in the chicken water, and they were worms. And it, I mean, it was
just—you just
have to be amused.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talk about revival. I think the bugs had a, like, especially the box elders had their,
they had their
40th hatching of the year, or something like that.
Yeah, they did. They're back out again.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, that's so cool. Good.
Hey, before we go, I want to let you know about the San Miguel Basin Seedling Tree Program. So anyone in San Miguel or West Montrose County can buy seedling plants from the CSU Extension Office in Norwood. So that's going to go on for quite a while. They're taking orders through early April, and then you pick them up in the last week in April. So you can go to sanmiguel.colostate.edu for an application. Or you can call Mary or Yvette at 970-327-4393. And we'll talk about that as the weeks go
on. Yeah, let's keep talking about that, because what kind of trees?
I mean, all kinds of trees. They've got this giant application that you can fill out with all kinds of selections. So,
San Miguel.
And West Montrose.
EDU. Yeah.
SanMiguel.colostate, colostate.edu.
Okay.
So that extension office down there.
.colo.edu. Okay, we got it.
Right on. Well, thank you guys again as we wind or up or down the season. A lot of chopping and dropping to do, a lot of cleanup, and it's kind of fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We'll be back next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. for another edition of As the Worm Turns. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
You took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.